Now, even nowadays, on a seal, on a bottle, it could be the name of the person that sealed it up. The name on the seal was the name of the Kohen Gadol. Not just a regular Kohen, who would have made the oil, but the Kohen Gadol himself. In other words, this was a special, special Pach Shemen, a special bottle of oil, that not only came from a regular person or a regular Kohen, it came from the Kohen Gadol himself. That means there was an extra Helikite. There was an extra Kedusha to this oil. They got so excited. Now think about it. Had they never decided to look for that oil, they would have never found it. And they could have used the oil that was just regular oil. They knew that that was not the right way for a Yid to go just with what you're allowed to do, especially if it's Tomei. Because they decided they're not going to go with the oil that's Tomei, they started to dig in the floor, which L'chaire is ridiculous. Who digs in the floor? But sure enough, that's where they found. When they dug, they found an unexpected bottle of Shemen Zayis Toher. They would have never found it. They would have never looked for it had they not decided to do the mitzvah L'chatchila. This is a very important point. Because you learn out a very important thing. When you just say, I'll do it the easy way, and then Taka, you'll do it the easy way, and that's all the way that you'll be able to do it is the easy way. But if you decide, I'm not going to do it just the easy way out, I'm going to do it the best way, with the most Kedusha, even though it might be hard, or even though I don't even know how I could do it, and you go that way, Hashem shows you, Koiches, hidden koiches and hidden ways that you didn't know in the first place, that when you decided, ways open up that you're able to do the mitzvah in the most halakhic way, in the most the best possible way, and in the best way. Ways open up that you're able to do it. You come on to koiches that you didn't even know you had. And ways come that never happened before. Do you understand? Just like they found the shemen in the ground. It's a very important thing you learn out. But Kinalak, the bottle was only enough to burn for one day. And they said, if we pour this in the Meneda, it's only going to burn for one day. And even if we send people to go and to get oil, it's going to take the 8 days. So it's going to come out that 7 days will be without the Meneda. We only have enough for one day. So then they started talking, should we take the bottle and split it up and only burn a little bit each day? And then at least we'll have a little bit each day. But then they said, then you won't even have the mitzvah once. Because the mitzvah to burn the menorah, it has to be from the evening until the morning. It burns the whole night. They used to light the menorah around mincha time, when it starts getting dark. The light would burn through the night. And in the morning, it would go out. This is the way the menorah was lit every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. Their take was one candle, the Ner HaMaravi, that used to burn the whole time. That was a Nes. In the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, it used to burn in a way of a Nes the whole night. I don't know about the second Beis HaMikdash, if the same Nes was there, for sure in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. But that was only one candle, and that was a Nes. And there's an inyan that you don't rely on a Nes. You don't say, it's going to burn, at least one candle will burn with a Nes. They didn't know what's going to happen. Then they decided, at least we'll have one day the mitzvah the right way. So we'll pour all of the oil in the menorah, and at least it's going to burn for one day, according to the mitzvah. The other days, what else could we do? We can't do the mitzvah, we can't do it. So we'll wait for the halakha oil to come. And then 8 days later, we'll light the menorah again. That's what they decided. So they poured the oil in the menorah. They lit it with great simcha, with great happiness, that they're able to burn the menorah again. And of course, this was also the sign of the light of the Jewish people and the halakhite of the Jewish people. and this gives keiches for the light and the helikait for the Jewish people, and the menorah started to burn, and then some of the people went and started to travel to get the new oil that would come in 8 days. And then they left, and they wanted to come back the next morning to daven in the Beis Hamikdash. And of course they expected that the oil should be gone and the light should be out, like every day. They came in the morning at the Beis Hamikdash, and they saw, kinalach, that the menorah was still burning beautifully and brightly. Hey, look! The menorah is still burning! And they looked in the menorah to see about the oil, and they couldn't believe their eyes. Look how much oil is in the menorah! Just like when we poured it in, it was to the top. It's almost to the top still. Look how much oil is there. So much oil. Wait a minute. What's happening over here? The oil should be used up. It should be down to the bottom, and the light should be out. But it wasn't that way. The menorah was still burning. It burned the whole day, and it burned the whole night, and it burned the next day, and the next night, and it burned the next day, and the next night. And the menorah burned, kinalach, for 8 days. Until they came back with the new oil, the menorah was still burning. They came back now with a new halakha olive oil, and just as the menorah was going to go out, they poured it in and it didn't go out. They were able to light it again and do the mitzvah. They saw it as a nes, a miracle. Actually, there were a few miracles here. The first miracle was that they even found the oil in the first place. That in itself was a miracle. And of course, there was the miracle that the Yidden, the Maccabees, fought the Yavanim, and they were able to win the Yavanim. Because it wasn't normal that a little army of Yidden with beards, with tzitzis, with yarmulkes, that are not used to fighting, that are used to learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, they could fight Goyim with swords and with war elephants, and with all kinds of weapons that are trained soldiers, and the few Yidden could win the Goyim and win them. They could fight them and win them. That's a big miracle also. And then of course that the oil burned for 8 days is a very big miracle. And the biggest miracle, as the Friedrich Rebbe explains, was that all the Yidden who became like the Yavanim, kinalach, they did tshuva, and they became from, and they saw that Hashem's way is the true way, and they shouldn't have gone in the Goyish way in the first place. Everyone did tshuva, and they became very from again, learning Torah and doing mitzvahs in a halakha way. This is the biggest miracle. Actually, it's not a miracle so much, because that's the koyach of a yid. But that was the most important part of Chanukah, that the many came in the hands of the few, which means the many yidden that became like Yevanim saw that the way, the Torah way, this is the true way, and they did tshuva. The Chachamim made a meeting afterwards, and they said, we have to remember this, and we have to make a yontif out of this. This is very important. The Chachamim had the koyach to make a yontif, just like they had made Purim before. Before it had happened, that it was another miracle that happened, as we're going to learn later on, but this, the Purim happened first. They made the yontif of Purim, which is a mitzvah from the Chachamim, one of the seven mitzvahs of the Chachamim, like lighting Shabbos candles or making an Eidif. And now they made one of the other mitzvahs of the Chachamim, which was Chanukah. It's a mitzvah from the Chachamim. You will not find in the Chumash the mitzvah of Chanukah. But when we light the menorah, we say, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu. Why? Because the mitzvah was made from the Chachamim, who have the koyach to add on and make certain mitzvahs. And the Chachamim said, this is what we're going to do for Chanukah. We're going to light menorahs for Chanukah. In the davening, we're going to say Al Hanisim. And in the benching, we're going to say Al Hanisim. We do not say Yalav Yavoi. We say Al Hanisim, which we're going to look at later on in benching. All the 8 days of Chanukah. And the main thing of Chanukah is saying thanks to Hashem for the big miracles that He did. Chanukah is mostly a ruchniyistik yontif for the neshama, and Purim is more a gashmiyistik yontif for the body, that the lives were saved. In the time of Haman, they were against the Jewish lives. They're going to kill everybody, God forbid. By Antiochus, he didn't want to kill everybody. He wanted everybody to become like the Goyim, like the Yevanim. He wanted to put everybody's neshama into galus and make a tameh with the tamedike books and the tamedike music and the tamedike food and the tamedike ways, the goyish ways they acted, they behaved. And that, kinalach, is the mitzvah of Chanukah. Now let's learn the paper now.
Okay, once there was a very poor man, and he was starving. He did not have this beautiful yeshiva lunch that we have today with meat and potatoes and carrots and bread and pickles and apple juice. This man was starving, and he says, if I don't eat soon, I am not going to keep alive. I am so hungry. I must eat. And he came to a house, and he says, I have to be able to eat in this house because I am so hungry. I won't have the koyach to go to another house. And he knocks on the door, and a lady comes to the door. And she didn't look like she was too nice of a lady. She looked pretty nervous and upset. And she says, what do you want? I'm busy. What do you want now? I'm a poor man, I'm very hungry, and I have to eat, and maybe I could come and have some food in your house. I have no time to fix your food, and I don't have a lot of food even for myself and my family, so why don't you go somewhere else? Don't you see I'm busy? Go away. And the man says, look, I tell you what, you won't have to give me anything except hot water and a pot, and I will make my own food. I just need hot water and a pot, and that's all you have to do, and then you can go and do whatever you have to do. You don't have to take care of me. I'll cook my own food. I'll make soup for myself. And the woman says, and how can you make soup if you have no food, just a pot and hot water? He says, look, I have in my pocket a nail. I have a nail. I will make nail soup, and that's all I'm going to eat, and I'm not asking you for anything, just water and a pot and to put it on the fire, that's all. The woman says, nail soup? I never heard of that. How can you eat nail soup? He says, don't worry, that's enough for me, nail soup. And she says, okay, come in, but remember, I'm just giving you a pot and water and that's all. Okay, the woman takes a pot. She puts water in the pot. And she puts it on the fire. And the beggar man is standing by the fire and by the pot. And when the water boils, he takes his nail and he drops it into the pot. And he starts to smile. Pretty soon I'm going to have nail soup. And the woman comes back into the kitchen after who knows what she's doing in her house. And she says, you mean all you have is a nail in the hot water and that'll make a soup? What about salt? Every soup has some salt in it. The man says, well, I don't have any salt. She says, well, I do. How about if I put some salt in the soup? At least it'd have some taste. The man says, okay, you want to put some salt in the soup? Go ahead. The woman goes to the cupboard, she takes some salt and puts it in the soup. And the man starts to smile. Ah, nail soup with salt. Pretty soon I'm going to eat my delicious meal. And he puts on his bib and he's going to eat. All of a sudden, she says, wait a minute. Every good soup has to have an onion. An onion gives taste in a soup. The man says, well, you're right. And she says, but in your nail soup, you don't have an onion. He says, well, you're right. She says, Why don't we put an onion in the soup? He says, okay. She gets an onion. She puts it in the soup. And they look into the pot. They see the little naily over there and the onion rolling around. And there's a little bit of salt. You can't see it. And there's the water. Okay, the man's ready to eat. He's got his bib. He's ready to go. The woman says, wait a minute. An onion without a carrot is not a soup. I mean, did you ever see a soup without a carrot in it? Well, even if you did, this woman says, you have to have a carrot in the soup. The man says, I don't have a carrot. She says, I do. He says, that's good. Shh. She says, I'm going to put the carrot in the soup. She puts the carrot in the soup. Well, over there is an onion with a carrot and, of course, the nice nail. And the man is ready to eat. He says, I'm ready to eat. She says, look, an onion, a carrot, it's almost a chicken soup. It's only missing one thing. Anybody can guess what that is? What is that?
Chicken.
That is right. It's missing chicken. It's almost a chicken soup. Without chicken, what kind of a chicken soup is it? She says, look, this soup would taste very good with a piece of chicken. Then it wouldn't be just a nail soup. It would be a chicken and nail soup or a nail and chicken soup. He says, you've got a good point. Yeah, besides the nail, she's got a good point. Okay. She says, look, I might as well put a piece of chicken in there because just the nail by itself, what's it going to taste like? He says, all right. Shh. She gets a piece of chicken and she puts in the soup. And now the man says, look, I don't want to bother you anymore. After all you had to do is, you know, the hot water. Oh, she says, it's okay. I want your nail soup to taste good, as long as you're cooking it on my stove. And boys, he sat down and he had his delicious nail soup. In the end, because he finished the whole thing, maybe she also had some. There was one thing left in the pot, and that was the nail. Well, the nail was left over. He says, look, you know, I'm so full, I can't even eat the nail. I might as well put it back in my pocket in case I have to make another nail soup. I can use the same nail over again. And he put the nail in his pocket, and he said his bracha achrayna. Maybe she even gave him some bread. After all, what's a chicken soup without some kind of bread with it? And he said goodbye, and she said, yes, goodbye, and he left. And that was the story of the nail soup. Now, it's a funny story, and it's a cute story, a very interesting story. I see that everybody liked that story, because you listened to that story. Is there anything we might learn in Avodas Hashem from that story? Now, the Baal Shem Tov said that from everything you hear and from everything you see, you should learn a lesson in serving Hashem, being close to Hashem and everything that happens. Let's learn from this story something. Okay, the hungry, starving man is the neshama. Our neshamas are hungry and starving, and they always want to eat, but not necessarily food and soup. What is the neshama, boys? What is the neshama always want to get more of? The neshama is thirsty. The neshama is hungry. What does the neshama want?
Torah.
Torah and mitzvahs. Helikite. Elokus. Nutsutze kedusha, sparks of halakite. This is the way Hashem made our neshamas. And that's good. We should always be hungry for more and more Torah, more and more mitzvahs. Shh. That's very good. The hungry man needs to eat. The neshama needs to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. But shh. The neshama itself doesn't have the food by itself. And it doesn't have the Torah mitzvahs by itself. Who is the lady The neshama has to go to knock on the door to the lady. Who is the lady?
Yetzirah.
That's the Yetzirah. That is the body and the nefesh habahamis, the animal soul and the Yetzirah. The neshama comes into a body with an animal soul and a Yetzirah. And from that, with our bodies, with our Yetzirah, that's how we do the mitzvahs. We have to come on to using our bodies and even our Yetziraras that we should be able to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. Does our body have a mouth? Learning Torah is saying the words with our mouth. If the neshama doesn't have a body, how will it say the words of Torah? There's no mouth. There's no teeth. Is it a mitzvah to give tzedakah? We have to do it with our hand. The neshama cannot pick up the quarter by itself and put it in the pushka. It needs a hand. Is it a mitzvah to wear tzitzis? Where do you put your tzitzis? On your neshama only? Where?
On you.
On you. On you. Well, if there's no you over there, you won't be able to put the tzitzis. They're going to fall down on the floor, chas v'shalom. There's no you there. Where are you going to put the tzitzis? A bar mitzvah boy, does he put tefillin on his head and his hands? What if there's no head? Where does the tefillin go? I have no head. I have no arm. You need a body. All right. Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we will continue explaining our nail soup story. Okay. The beggar in the nail soup story, the poor man is the neshama. The neshama is hungry for Torah and mitzvahs, food for the neshama. Helika sparks, nitzutzei kedusha, helikite. The woman is the body, the animal soul, the Yetzirah, the nefesh habahamis, who does not want necessarily to give to the neshama. The body doesn't necessarily want to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. Shh. Now, the neshama needs Torah and mitzvahs, and the body doesn't want to give. What is the neshama going to do? Oh, here's what we get. The smartness of the neshama. And the chochmah. The clever smartness. The neshama makes a trick. The neshama has a good trick, a nail soup trick. Now, what is the nail? The nail, is the nail really food? Is the nail a mitzvah? Or it's just kind of like a trick to get the lady to be able to give some food. Okay, the nail was kind of a trick, but there's two kinds of tricks. There's certain kind of tricks that are not nice, or they're against the Torah, or chas v'shalom, they are taking advantage of a person. That's not the kind of trick we're talking about. Do you know that there are other tricks that are halik? Does anybody remember how Yaakov got the brachas from Yitzchak? Did he go in a straight way, or he had to make a trick? Didn't he get dressed up like Esav? And he pretended to be Esav? Okay. Do you think that Yaakov Chas v'Shalom did anything wrong, or he made a trick l'shem Shamayim?
Shamayim.
What do you think he did?
He made a trick l'shem Shamayim.
He made a trick for l'shem Shamayim. And there's all kinds of other tricks in the Torah. Okay, let me tell you what the neshama does. The neshama says to itself, I know that the body, the Yetzirah, doesn't want to do Torah mitzvahs. And if I go and say, let's do Torah mitzvahs, and the body says, let's not do Torah mitzvahs, I'll get nowhere. So let me take a trick. Okay. Take out a nail, and from the nail, oh, the woman got curious. And then she started getting involved. And she gave salt, and she gave an onion, and she gave a carrot, and she gave even a piece of chicken, and, you know, okay. How many boys ever got a prize for learning or davening? Did you ever get a prize? A lolly, or a toy, or a cookie, or jelly beans? Mekinelach, shh. Is the jelly bean a mitzvah, or the cookie, or the lolly? No. Do you know that this is kind of like a little trick? But it's a good trick, because the neshama wants to do the mitzvah. The body doesn't want to daven sometimes. Oh, but the body likes a lolly. The Yetzirah loves a cookie. So you show the Yetzirah the cookie and the lolly. You say, look at these nice, delicious prizes. Oh, yeah, 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 I want that, I want that. I like a lolly, I like a cookie. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. You want to eat this cookie and this lolly? Sure, sure, I want that. Okay, but first, we're going to daven good. You daven good? Oh, okay. I don't want exactly daven, but I want to get the cookie and the lolly. So you know what? Even though I really don't want to daven, but I'm going to daven good in order that I get that cookie and that lolly. So you're kind of like playing a trick to get yourself to daven, or your Rebbe is getting you to daven, and the Yetzirah is happy with the cookie and the lolly, and the person davened, and okay. It's kind of it's a trick, but it's a good trick. Now, the Chachamim used a different trick. They said jokes. Who likes a good joke? Okay. It says in the Gemara, that the boys sat down to learn. They used to sit on the floor or on pillows or something. They sat down in front of the Rebbe, and they were very, very serious. They want to learn Torah. And the Rebbe sat down and he saw, well, the boys are kind of nervous. They're not exactly relaxed. How does a person learn the best? When they're nervous and not feeling good, or if they're besimcha? Okay. They're besimcha, of course they have the fear of Hashem, but they're also besimcha. So all of a sudden the tzaddik would say a joke or a funny story, and the whole class would laugh, but of course this is a Torah dikah story and a Torah dikah joke, and they would get in a good mood, and then the Rebbe would start the class and teach the Torah. Now, was the funny story or the joke the Torah he wants to teach them? No. But it would get them to listen, and it would get their bodies and their nefesh habahamis and their yetzaharas all ready to learn, and they would be able to learn good. Okay, that is the lesson.